Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Thundercast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm Matthew Sawyer, and joining me today, I have Nick Hall.
Hello.
And Shane Ryan.
Hello.
Okay, guys, so Grand Theft Auto 5 has come out after a long period of anticipation. Got a lot of 10 out of 10s. Can't say I was that surprised by it. Been a lot of thoughtful criticism written about the game that didn't put a number at the end of the piece and called it out on a certain number of issues. I've played Grand Theft Auto 5. I haven't finished it myself yet. Nick, I believe you have finished the game.
Is that right? Yep.
And Shane, you haven't yet played it.
No.
Is that correct?
No.
What are you doing on this podcast? Get out.
Get out.
Just hanging about.
So, we have a variety of perspectives on the game. We're going to try and keep this relatively non-spoilery. We'll probably talk about some of the early story missions, but we're not going to spoil where the story goes. So, I've got to ask Nick, you finished the game. Do you think it's a 10 out of 10? And did you enjoy it as much as you have enjoyed other Grand Theft Auto games?
Is it a 10 out of 10? Start off with a difficult question.
For you, personally.
Is anything a 10 out of 10?
I think there are definitely problems with it. I don't think it's quite the masterpiece that everyone is saying it is.
Mm-hmm.
However, I did really enjoy playing it.
Mm.
I think most of my problems actually came from a kind of story perspective. Because I think the gameplay at this point and the creation of the world is something Rockstar are really good at. It learns a lot of lessons from, or it takes a lot of inspiration from Red Dead Redemption, I think. And the just the world just seems like such a real place. And most of the fun that I've had with it has just been not actually the missions. It's just been going and wandering around and exploring and doing things.
I think you can see so many strains of Rockstar's previous games of this generation throughout pretty much every technical aspect and especially the world buildings. So you talk about Red Dead there. Yeah, you've got like definitely some of that in there. You've got the big open countryside, the wildlife, and just the feel of it as well. I think the feel of the scale and traveling around the game kind of felt like Red Dead for me.
Yeah.
And then you've got things like the mini games, the tennis game. You can see strains of Rockstar's table tennis in there, I think, and bits of Max Payne in the way that the combat now controls, kind of.
Yeah, there's so much to explore, and that's what they've managed to get out of the Xbox 360 and the PS3 after all this time is quite remarkable. There's certain moments when you're just delighting, just creates such one of those moments that you can only really get in Rockstar open world games, and it all comes together.
I think visually, the lighting system is probably like the biggest upgrade.
And obviously with the sound design and the choice of music is obviously that's another thing they excel at. The world building is great. The story we'll probably get to in a bit, I think has problems with it. How did you feel about the mechanics of the game, as in the what you'll be doing most of the time, which is shooting and driving?
So the thing about like old GTA games really is you do such a diverse variety of different things, but the main like fundamental pillars of gameplay are pretty much always driving, shooting, and well, that's pretty much it. It's controlling the variety of vehicles and shooting people.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the fundamental pillars of GTAs. But you do lots of different things in this. There's lots of swimming, underwater sections. There's all sorts of mini games where you play tennis and things like that. So just let's look at the fundamental ones first. I thought driving felt really good. It felt like they had a nice balance between the more simulation, type experience that was Grand Theft Auto 4. And the more arcadey feel of the older Grand Theft Autos from the PS2 era. And driving always felt fun for me. It didn't feel like a chore, if you will. And they've done a few different things. I think it feels tighter than it did in Grand Theft Auto 4. Grand Theft Auto 4, your cars used to skid around everywhere.
Yeah, it's certainly an improvement.
And that got kind of annoying. Yeah.
I think...
So it just feels slightly more like a racing game in that it's easier to control, and I think that helps it, really. It's not as realistic, but doesn't really matter.
Like you said, they've got that mix of... You feel like... Sometimes in Saints Row, I think it's just... There's no challenge to the driving at all. Whereas this, the cars do kind of feel... They do feel unique when you're driving, you know, different ones, and you know, the handling will feel slightly different. It's quite difficult. It never really comes up because most of the missions are fairly forgiving, but it's quite tricky to get the hang of at the start. But nothing on the level of GTA 4, which was my heart always sank whenever you.
To be fair, the
shooting wasn't that great either. But the driving missions in that were a bit of a pain in the ass. So it is an improvement. Definitely. The camera, you can change it. It still sits a little bit low for me.
Okay.
I don't know if you felt
not
that.
Not a fan of that.
Like you can't.
I don't think so. I mean, you've got the three different views.
I think I
generally stick with the one that's most zoomed out.
Yeah.
Just so I can get the broadest view.
Yeah, but I definitely agree. It's really fun just to drive about.
The combat mechanics, I think hand-to-hand combat, that feels better than it did in Grand Theft Auto 5. Again, it feels like less of a chore.
Yeah, you don't really get much. You don't do much of it.
But I think if you do, it's more automatic than it was in Grand Theft Auto 4. It feels easier. It feels smoother and it animates well. Animates really well because of the Euphoria engine that they've got.
That's always
to
a
be honest, I've got to say, one of the most fun activities I've experienced in GTA 5 so far is just playing with the Euphoria engine and taking one of the characters and just making them jump into walls and seeing how the body physics plays out.
I agree. I spent far too long doing that as well. Throwing
jumping
yourself into
things.
Traffic and jumping into chain-link fences and stuff like that.
Did they first use that on Red Dead?
No, GTA 4.
GTA 4, right, okay.
Yeah. But it's
and I think it's more refined.
Yeah, Red Dead and Max Payne.
It is really quite impressive.
Red Dead and Max Payne kind of work with that quite a lot, didn't they? Perfecting it, and at this point, it's pretty much the best physics system around. I would say.
Body physics.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the early Red Dead, the big kind of technical thing was when you walked up into the little station, and he would auto step up onto the platform in the right time. Rather than kind of shuffling awkwardly.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. Like, there's so many, like, minor technical nuances in Rockstar's open world games that are just so impressive, and you go into so much detail, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
No other development studio or development team have the resources to pour into these tiny little details. I mean, when the character's walking up the steps, they have a different animation, and they actually walk up the steps. Their feet go on the individual steps, and when they climb up the ladder, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's just loads of those little bits of detail strewn throughout the game that are really technically impressive.
Yeah. I think they all combine to create a world that feels... It does feel alive. It feels like a real place. I always feel with Saints Row, which is probably... Obviously, that's gone in a completely different way from GTA, but...
Yeah.
Interfering and messing around and doing things in the game world always feels a bit... It feels so cartoony that it's harder to get interested in it. Whereas this, you feel like you're affecting a real place.
Mm.
Which is... Obviously, they've gone different ways because Saints Row is all about the fun. But, yeah, it's an astonishing achievement, I think, what they've managed to create.
So what do you think about this world compared to, say, GTA 4? Because obviously the relationship between these two games is analogous to that between GTA 3 and GTA San Andreas.
Yeah.
Being that this game has a massive open countryside that you can explore. You've got Mount Chiliad, you've got oceans, you've got all these different environments that you have, whereas GTA 4 was just pure city. What do you think about the wildlife and the countryside, the desert area of this game?
I think GTA 4, I found it difficult to get into. I found it a little bit bland. I think Liberty City wasn't... Partly just because of the weather effects and the lighting and things like that. It's harder to do that with New York City, whereas Los Santos, you've got those moments when the sun comes out and everything looks gorgeous. I think the world itself just being able to escape into the country is just, I mean, I haven't actually done that much exploring in the backwoods areas, really. Mm. I mean, there's still a lot of places that I haven't really been to, but I think it definitely helps to, it just makes it feel like a more cohesive world. And it, I think, like you say, that step up from the restriction of just being in one city to having the ability to just go off-roading.
Yeah, lots of different environments, and it plays differently in all these different environments.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favourite things so far has been to just get into a police chase. So if you've got a police chase and a mission, just head off-road, go to the countryside and go up a mountain and just watch the ridiculous physics of all the police cars chasing me. Just fly over the mountain top.
Yeah. And I also enjoy the just getting on a speedboat and a high speed chase and the way you hit the waves. The waves as they you know, breach, and just the physics of it, just so satisfying.
Yeah, the physics of water especially are really impressive, aren't they? I mean, and the ocean's modeled kind of in the same way that Assassin's Creed 3's ocean was, where you do have that swell and the waves. Yeah. It's not just a flat texture.
Yeah.
There's something definitely, like, I don't know, there's lots of physics going on in the
background. And you can swim about.
You can swim about. Get eaten by a shark. I haven't come across a shark yet. Have you found one?
You will.
You've experienced it.
I have. So, there's like I say, there's just so many little touches like that. Like, you could play the whole game and not even, go underwater
just,
once.
As soon as you get to the area, you could just mess about.
Really. Yeah.
So, a massive technical achievement. It's just really, really impressive from a technical perspective and really kind of exciting to see what they'll do on a next generation console with the power that they have there.
Yeah.
Because if you can get this out of the current generation consoles, then it's scary to think. But, let's come on to the story side of things, because Grand Theft Auto games, they're very open, you very much do what you want, but also there's a very structured, rigid, linear story that's about a set of characters that are all well-defined. So you were saying before that you had some issues with the story. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
I think the main problem is the structure hampers the storytelling to some extent.
Okay. By structure, do you mean the three character?
Not the three character thing so much, which I think actually works quite well. But it's the way they adhere to the same structure of the GTA game as we've always known it. You go to this area, there's three missions here, you do those, and then you go to the next bit, and there's the next character you meet. And I think the three characters they've created are quite interesting. Well, at least two of them are. And you feel like there's more you could do with them. But then you'll go to the next area, and you'll get a little cutscene telling you to do the next mission, and it'll just be a new thing. Like, this time you have to get a chopper and lift off a car and stuff. It feels like the missions, that the storyline is sacrificed because they have to get you into position to do those familiar GTA style missions.
Yeah, yeah. Those GTA activities. Yeah.
Also, the build-up of tension is lost sometimes when you have to keep flitting back and forth. So there's a great moment. Well, you get introduced to Trevor, who we'll probably talk more about in a bit. And there's a sort of build up of the tension between him and Michael. And then the very next cutscene, Trevor just turns up at Michael's house.
Yeah, I feel like that sometimes. It doesn't feel like it falls on from itself at times.
Like they have to get the characters together to do the missions, but they can't quite figure out a naturalistic way to do that.
Sleeping Dogs had that same issue as well, where you just flip from scene to scene, and sometimes you're like, wait, what? It doesn't quite feel... It feels like there's a weird time gap somewhere here.
Which is odd, because there is a naturalistic way to do that when you have that system of swapping between characters. I feel like they don't quite use... When you're just hanging around, you'll sometimes get wonderful little moments where you'll swap to one character, and you'll be... say you'll be Trevor, and you'll just be on top of a mountain in a woman's dress.
Those moments are brilliant.
But they always take place... The best uses of that character swapping mechanic are always outside the mission structure. And I don't think, it's strange. I don't think it learns the lessons that Red Dead Redemption did so well. Which, to be fair, had the same sort of structure, but because John Marston he was traveling across, it felt like an old sort of a hero's journey sort of thing. So it kind of made more sense that he was going on to the next person to do jobs for them and then just traveling on his way through the Wild West. This feels a little bit more awkward with the way.
It feels like you've met this new character, you've got three missions for him, and then you move on to someone else. That typical GTA thing. And I've always found GTA is quite strange in the sense that they are such open games, and the, like we talked about, the technical aspects of their open world are just incredible. Their stories are so rigid and so structured.
Mm.
I never understood why they didn't open them up more. And like you were saying, like, it literally is, go to this marker that is in this specific location. The game will fast forward to a certain time of day and you will get given a specific thing to do. If you don't do it exactly this way, then you'll have to restart the mission.
Yeah.
And this just feels so restrictive, and I've never understood why they haven't opened it up more. I do get that they want to tell a specific story, and like that, I'm sure one of the houses has talked about how they view video games as a more interesting storytelling medium than movies.
Yeah.
But they're not really using video games in the way that they really could, I don't know, tell a really interesting video game story. They're telling a movie story.
Yeah.
And giving you lots of, like, stupidly technical stuff to do around it that's really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, they feel like someone has just watched a load of crime films, and they feel like bits of different crime films.
There's a lot of heat in there.
Yeah. They don't ever... I think with Red Dead Redemption, they did manage it. Although there are certain bits where the story sort of drifts
and
slows down. But that's a much better example of them using source material as a kind of inspiration, but still telling a story that felt maybe not a new story, but, you know, it felt unique and sort of interesting.
I think it just worked in that world as well.
Yeah.
In Red Dead, the story in the open world was one, whereas from the way you're describing it, is the story in the open world in this is very separate.
Yeah,
that's definitely
if you took
feels.
The missions out and you just packaged the missions into a sort of into one action adventure game like Max Payne, that's what it feels like. It doesn't. Yeah, the open world is kind of it doesn't interact with your ability to. How you undertake the missions, so like Matt says.
Yeah. No, the open world literally feels like, I don't know, a set, like a movie set, upon which you've got certain like structured sequences which occur.
Yeah. All the options that you could, for how to complete missions, if they did just let you do what you wanted, I mean, it would have been great. Hopefully, GTA Online, that's almost like they feel like that's the sandbox element, is the online element. And they've tried to just do a more simple version for the single player.
Yeah, that would be interesting if that's what GTA Online manages to achieve.
Yeah.
Because you set up objectives, go about it any way you wish. So let's talk about the structure and the way the story's told and our issues with that. Let's talk a little bit about what that story is. So obviously we've got three characters that you can play as, three main protagonists. There's Michael, midlife crisis man, as I like to call him. So he's living the LA dream. He's rich, retired criminal. He's got a family, but his family hate him. His kids both hate him. His kids are kind of like exaggerated stereotypes of, spoilt brats, if you will. His son's really into gaming and he's not a very nice gamer. And his daughter wants to be she wants fame.
Reality television sort of career.
Yeah, she's that kind of, that kind of person.
But maybe,
And then got, Franklin. Yep. Franklin is a young gentleman from the hood, as it seems.
I believe they call it.
Yeah, and it's about him struggling to make his way, getting on with his family, but also his friends as well. I think he feels like he's like growing out of that kind of lifestyle that he's been set in for such a long time, and he's trying to make his way as a gangster. He meets Michael whilst he's trying to steal from his house. Spoiler, I suppose. And that's how they get together. But then there's also Trevor, who I feel is Rockstar's embodiment of the archaic nature of the open world GTAs. Like Trevor, the way that he's painted is such a caricature and he's so ridiculously anarchic. He does some crazy, crazy stuff. One of the first missions that you have with him, you basically have to wipe out an entire family of people. And there's about 30 of them and you take them all on in the farmyard and you do it because you're Trevor and he's crazy. So what did you think about the three different characters? Did you have a favourite one? Do you feel like any one of them was under-characterised, underdeveloped compared to the other ones?
I think, in general, I mean, we're trying to stay away from spoilers, a bit, but they all start as fairly familiar archetypes. You got the hustler, street hustler, Franklin, who's trying to get out of the ghetto and, you know, earn money and make a success of himself. Michael's like a sort of self-analyzing, depressed gangster, who's in therapy.
So would he be Michael Madsen if it's the film?
Yeah, he is a Michael Madsen sort of, and Trevor's a maniac, but they don't, I think the problem is they don't really go anywhere apart from that. They start off as stereotypes and they're never really given that much depth. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of bad people in a way. They're all murderers. They're all thieves.
I like Trevor the best because at least he's honest about it. Michael starts moaning about how difficult it is when he's living in his $300 million house.
And Trevor is disgustingly, like, violent and horrible.
And all the better for it.
But then he's also, like you say, he's honest about it and he acknowledges that and he's like, well, at least I know who I am.
Is he supposed to be like an embodiment of the character that everyone used to play when they would do the, get 5 stars and survive as long as you can?
Yeah, he's like a fevered id, isn't he? He's like the GTA players at their most, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of feels
like Rockstar have put him in so that they have someone in there that you can go to and do that and just, grief the streets and get 5 stars and do those stupid cop chases.
Yeah.
Without feeling like you're breaking the story. Because that's plausibly what Trevor would do.
So it's like there's three types of GTA player. So you've got three different characters.
Kind of.
But I think the reason I liked him more is because he doesn't have an arc, a narrative. He doesn't have anything. They don't try really to give him any depth.
Mm.
But the others, they do, and it doesn't work. So I think I enjoyed being Trevor because he was just a madman. That was it. They didn't try
just
and do
sociopath.
Yeah, which is quite freeing.
One of my problems that I've got with the story at the moment is, and I haven't finished the game, but it seems like, they're painted. We've talked about what they're painted as to begin with, and we get that's where the characters start.
They don't go anywhere.
It doesn't seem like any of them have developed in any way other than they've got richer by killing a lot of people and mourning about it.
As I say, I don't want to spoil too much, but it ends.
Okay.
really?
The same
Leave it.
Way. Let's just say there is not a huge amount of character development.
Right, okay.
I think that's
a problem for pretty much all of the Grand Theft Auto games, really. They're not really about character developing. They're just about you doing a lot of violent stuff.
Yeah. They start with a mute character who doesn't even speak.
Yeah.
And he's just basically a front for the player to go around doing what they want.
And the original ones?
They haven't really ever. I mean, Tommy Vercetti, that was more about Vice City was more about the time and place, wasn't it? And the world that they were creating.
Yeah.
He's not a particularly memorable character. He's just another, face to
Avatar
players.
Who swears a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
another problem that I kind of had with the writing and the story as it goes is that it feels like the writers think they're being clever and putting you in lots of situations that are, inverted commas, satirical. They're kind of like comments on modern day life. So you've got like the whole Life Invader scenario where you get involved with Life Invaders, kind of like the Facebook equivalent in the game, and you get involved with taking them down. And the guy who runs Life Invaders plays as a real douchebag.
Yeah.
But they just feel like such easy targets, and they're not really saying that much about them.
Yeah.
They're just putting them in there and then taking the piss out of them.
I think as a satire, I think it pretty much falls a bit flat. Like you say, obvious jokes, it doesn't say anything particularly relevant, or it is, like you say, the joke of calling a Facebook social media site Life Invader is pretty much the most basic level of satire you could possibly
and then painting everyone that works
which is a shame, because there's a mission.
Satire is supposed to have a point, isn't it? You kind of overblow something into a joke so that people realize like a darker element to it, and if you're just simply doing that, people are going to be like, all right.
Yeah.
Which is I do think there is some of that in there, but I think, like you say, Nick, I think a lot of it falls flat and it's not very impactful. It just feels like, all right, you've just kind of been a bit immature about that.
It's a
but
shame.
I think that's something that's always been in GTAs. I think it's just something that's, I don't know, people are thinking about more these days, and I thought about more when I was playing this.
Yeah. It's a shame that they, because there are bits, like that Life Invader social media site, one of the missions, you have to go there. And they've recreated the office, and it's exactly what you imagine a Facebook office to be. Mm. Full of, you know, sort of yuppie types in sandals and
hipsters.
Yeah, and it's so well crafted that you basically just walk through there once on your way to a mission, and you don't go in there again. And the amount of effort and detail they put into recreating that.
Yeah.
But then, the actual, what they do with it and the jokes they make with it are kind of, pretty obvious. And
they don't bite very much. Yeah. I think they are obvious and I don't know, a bit flat.
So are there story beats and those sort of elements that do work then? Because it sounds like the open world and everything's great and playing it's great, but just some of this, the story and things is kind of, I guess, forgettable maybe.
Yeah,
is
like I
say,
there are moments largely, you think it's building up to something, it's going somewhere, like when I was saying Trevor, I don't want to give too much away, but he basically heads to the city for a confrontation with Michael, and you think, well, something's going to kick off now.
Oh, yeah, that fell really flat, that.
And then, this might have been just where I was playing, but there was a storm in the background as I was driving to Los Santos.
I think that's structured, that's put in there, because I got that as well.
And you think, oh wow, I wonder what they're going to do here. And then, like I say, the next scene, he just wanders into Michael's kitchen in the middle of like just a family argument. And like, there's these bits that built up and they don't really go anywhere.
There's a tiny bit of tension, but then it's like, oh, we've got a mission to do. Let's go do that
together. And literally they end up going on a mission together after that cutscene.
And then just walk away from each other.
It was an opportunity to do something interesting or mess with the swapping between characters thing or something. But it just doesn't really go anywhere. And there's a few moments like that.
It would have been quite good if you knew that both the characters were trying to play off each other at one point. You have to pick one to do that kind of twist or something. Yeah. You know, little things like that. It doesn't have to be major things, but I guess like you said before, with a video game medium, you have that interaction, don't you? And if you're just going to tell a Tony Scott story, which is fine and it's fun, but it's not.
Well, it's,
doing
so if you have
that
mission,
sense.
And then, I don't know, like Trevor kidnaps Michael, and now you've got, you can choose to play as Trevor, taking him somewhere. You can choose to be Michael, maybe like in the boot or something, trying to pick the lock away, or you can choose to be Franklin and come and rescue. Like, playing with the, you built this mechanic where you can swap between characters, and there's so much potential in it. But
I do think it works. Like the swapping mechanic works quite well in some missions. Generally, I will say though, it's a choice between: do you want to fly? Do you want to shoot? Do you want to drive? Yeah. Do you want to snipe? It's all the basic stuff. There's nothing quite as interesting as just what you described, where the gameplay scenarios will be very different, and narratively you're getting a very different perspective as well.
Yeah, the missions where you get to use that mechanic are big set-piece missions, so it tells you, basically, swap now to do the thing, and then you get, you know, using a sniper rifle or something like that.
Yeah.
Tends to be... And then, to be fair, if once you've done that, the rest of the mission, it does allow you to change between them, but... Most of those big set piece missions, each character, it basically tells you to do it at certain points, which kind of renders it a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I'm finding that so far. I don't know if it's going to open up as I get further in the game, but from what you're saying, it sounds like it isn't. Like you've got the choice of these three characters, but it always tells you, well, it doesn't always, but most of the time it's telling you, right, go over to Trevor now because you need to snipe this guy.
Yeah.
Go over to Michael now because you need to fly over here.
And if it's not, it's a fairly kind of simple combat situation where I mean, it's quite interesting that they're all in different places. You can swap between them. Mm. You know, it's just changing characters in the middle of a firefight. It's not like we haven't seen that before, you know, in other games.
So, tell me about the heist.
The heists, yes. So, lots of the main missions are structured around heists. And lots of time you'll have, like, a mini mission beforehand, where you'll get told to go and, like, steal a vehicle or collect something, or you need to get, like, I don't know, a tool from somewhere so that you can carry off the heist. Or you need to scope an area out that you're going to heist. I think that's the most... There's some of the most interesting missions in the game.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you are building up to something and you are setting something up.
And you do get the, option of a couple of different ways, generally, to do these each heist. So,
yeah.
You feel like those are the best missions, I think.
Yeah.
But quite...
Definitely.
By quite some distance.
Yeah. There's a lot of build-up to them. And obviously, like Nick said, you have that choice between the way that you're going to do it. And then there's also the way that the heist will play out. So there'll be different things in the heist whilst you're carrying it off that could change the way that the scenario plays out. So one of the early ones, you rob a jewellery store, but you can choose how long to spend in there. And if you spend too long in there and the person who's hacked the security system for you isn't able to hold off the security system for long enough, then the cops will turn up.
Mm.
But if you don't spend that much time in there and you get out of there quickly, then you can get out of there before the cops turn up.
Yeah.
And the scenario's different.
And you basically hire a team. So you have a selection of people, some of whom are better at their job than others. So, for instance, in that heist, if you hire the most expensive hacker, who obviously, it means that your cut at the end of the day will be smaller, but they will give you more time before the alarm goes off. Things like that, and if you try and be cheap like I was and hire the cheapest gunman, he will just crash straight into a wall on a bike on the first corner. So those heist missions really, they're the best things. They're what they should have been doing with some of the other missions, I think. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Giving you choices, different things that can happen.
Yeah. Letting you play with the open world more. Letting you choose how to approach now.
What are the end stakes in it though? Like, if he crashes and you lose some of the money, do you just lose points? Well, is there an actual major change?
They've made money quite difficult to get hold of. So,
okay.
A big score like that is where you get your money for the next few hours of gameplay.
Oh,
so,
right.
It's quite good. Like, for most general missions, you might unlock some new guns, the ammunitions or something, but you no longer get those big cash rewards for doing general missions. So the story is kind of building up towards the heists, and the better you do on those, the more money you can get.
So sounds like a good reimagining of the bonus round of like an old 80s kind of coin off thing, you know what I mean? Like you get a segment and based on skill, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's really, they are really fun. I mean, it gives you quite a lot of replay value because there are generally two different ways to do the heists. There's like generally a kind of tricksy way where you pump gas in or whatever. Or there's like the all out run into the store, guns blazing. But each of those
has a quiet and a loud option.
Yeah, each of those have different things that can happen. And like I say, the people that you choose for the missions, it impacts it quite a lot. Those are really good. A few more of those would have been more than welcome.
Yeah, there hasn't been that many. There's only been three or four of note so far where I am. I kind of wish there were more because they are the most interesting missions.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about most things about the game, but let's talk about one or two of the more controversial topics that have been making headlines and newspapers and different things, getting blamed for a lot of things. So one of the most controversial sections in the game is a torture scene where you play as Trevor and you get to choose the tool of torture, so, and then actually carry out the act of torturing someone. What did you think of that scene? Lots of people have called it out as being unnecessarily violent and just extreme and not really saying that much. Some other people have argued that actually it's a bit of a commentary on torture culture within the intelligence agencies in America. What kind of way did you go? How did you feel it played out?
I felt like when I played Modern Warfare and the No Russian mission, I felt like it was just in there to generate a bit of controversy. I mean, you could have taken that mission out and it wouldn't make any difference at all. I mean, if you're looking at the sort of politics behind it, there is a kind of... I felt that mission, they were basically saying it was pointless because it leads to you assassinating someone. Basically, you're trying to get a name out of this guy.
Mm.
And what I took from it at the end of the mission was that you pretty much just killed whoever you could see because you didn't really know who it was.
Yeah, definitely it.
Having said that, I didn't feel that it was a necessary scene or it added anything or it told you anything about the characters.
Yeah, I guess when you've said before, if this is the same character where you start off killing 30 people, killing one more is not really making a statement or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I have read that somewhere else as well, that like Trevor kills hundreds of people elsewhere in the game. People are getting offended by this one.
I guess because it's torture is always controversial.
What people forget is with video games is none of these people are real. And I know that's a very silly and obvious thing to say, but what I mean is every design decision and every single way they look is designed for a purpose. Yeah. So having a torture scene in here that has no real narrative relevance and these people do something that is outside of the open world carnage, it's taking it aside and trying to, by the sounds of it, make a point of something. And if people are having a discussion, then I guess that means it's failed to do what it was intended to do.
Yeah, I think that's really the important thing. I think video games, like any other medium, I think they should be able to tackle any subject, no matter how awful, gruesome, disgusting it is. But it's all about how you go about tackling that subject and what you're saying about it.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like you, Nick. I feel like they are kind of trying to say something because there is that whole torture is pointless thing that comes out of it, and Trevor makes a point of saying stuff like that afterwards. But then it is still needlessly gratuitous at the time, and it doesn't really feel like that point is strongly made as well.
It feels like they almost pull their punches at the end by... Trevor has that speech where he's being quite reasonable and saying it doesn't work, it's pointless. Yeah. But then it's like, well, why'd you make me do it then?
Oh, yeah. But he's... Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
He doesn't care when he's doing it. So,
I suppose that's Trevor's character, isn't it? Trevor doesn't really care. He's quite happy to do that and then just say, well, I'm sorry I tortured you, but I did it to make a point.
Do you think it would have worked better if the door had just closed, he didn't see what happened, and then he said that afterwards? As if, so you kind of fill in the blanks rather than...
So he's off screen.
Yeah.
If you're doing that moment to show that Trevor is, like, he's out of the group, he's the one he'll go over every line, like, he doesn't care, he'll cross any line. You kind of already know that when he stomps someone's head into the ground in like the first 5 seconds of you meeting him.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that moment. Actually, go on. Sorry, you go on.
But yeah, I didn't find it as... I mean, I couldn't say it was a particularly enjoyable scene to play, but I didn't really find it as offensive as some people have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I think
the thing is I understand why some people found it offensive.
Yeah,
is
offensive the right word, or just some people just think it was unnecessary?
I think a lot of people felt like it was glamorizing or treating, glamorizing torture, and that's a popular thing at the moment. You get things like 24, where torture is like the easy answer once you start.
Yeah, they do it
someone.
In 24. They do it a lot.
Whereas got was that it didn't work, and you just basically end up killing some random guy. It didn't add anything, and it wasn't particularly fun to play. It felt like just Rockstar just prodding people and seeing what they could,
as per usual,
get away with.
Yeah,
pushing the line a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which they do a lot with Trevor, and like what you just mentioned, the opening scene where Trevor is... Well, when you're introduced to Trevor, he's having sex with someone else's girlfriend who appears to be drugged up. And then he leaves his home and that person whose girlfriend it is turns up and protests. And Trevor stomps his head in and kills him, basically. And then goes to kill the rest of his friends and his gang. Which I think is really done to make a point about who he is, but I felt a bit dirty in that moment because I was controlling this guy and had just done that awful, awful thing, and the game was telling me, go and wipe out the rest of his friends so that you control this area.
As well, character.
I kind of don't want to.
I can't say that because that's a spoiler.
Yeah, don't go into more. But what I'll say is, I've not played it yet, but from what you're saying is, I'm interested at the moment in playing characters that aren't nice, and I like the idea of video games, like you said before, being something where you can explore the idea as playing as someone horrible. I think there was a BAFTA presentation a while ago with Ken Levine, when somebody asked him a question about characters, and he said that, you know, the idea of trying to sit down to write, for example, a character where you play a paedophile, for example, not in the way of, obviously in that way, but just your past is that. People won't accept it, it's too much. And you have to be very careful about how you balance those evil moments through. And it sounds like they've tried to do that with Trevor, but in the Grand Theft Auto way of completely over the top rather than perhaps maybe being a bit more subtle. Because as a comparison with the latest Saints Row, if you collect the collectibles, like the voice samples where it goes back throughout the series, you hear clips from people you've killed along the way. And all the clips of them saying, oh, at the time, I would have actually worked with them if they'd just come and talk to me rather than, you know, driving a tank over my wife's head and then blowing up my
building. Well, they changed that quite a lot, because Saints Row 2, you were pretty brutal. And I remember one mission in Saints Row 2 where you locked some woman in a trunk and stuck her in a destruction derby.
So the last game kind of looks back on that and you realise that this kind of thing's happened. You're thinking, wait a minute, I am just a sociopath when I have a rocket launcher just blowing everything up.
Yeah,
but it doesn't make it a main point. It's just a very subtle thing. It keeps digging all the time at that idea.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I suppose the argument comes from the reason why these debates happen partially. A lot of it is misunderstanding, I think, in media. But I think partially it comes from the fact that in video games you play as a character, so there's almost a part of you in there. So Trevor is a character and he's a divine character. But I'm also making him do these things. So when I get that little option marker, objective marker that pops up saying, I'll go kill 20 of these guys over here because I know you just killed their friend and they're going to come after you if you don't, then there's kind of like, well, you have to make that happen. So what if I kind of don't want to make it happen? You don't really have that choice at the moment. So
yeah,
I think that's probably
it's either put the £50 game back on the shelf or do what it tells you to do.
Because you are a participant, you're not a passive observer, you are an active participant. So I can totally understand why these discussions crop up, and I did feel a bit uneasy at times playing as Trevor.
I think
it's something I've only just, I mean, I've played plenty of games where I've killed hundreds of people, thousands of people, and never really thought about it that much. I think maybe it's just something that I'm starting to realise as I get older.
Or maybe
it's
a quality of the game that it makes you think that for some reason.
Like, at least that makes you, like you're saying, you know, we play a lot of characters which you're just there so you can go kill a load of people. I mean, at least it provokes a reaction. I think they start crossing that line with Trevor, and then some part of the way through, they want to make him into a kind of a lovable anti-hero character.
Lovable rogue.
Yeah, because he starts lucky. He has that scene to start off with, and he has the torture scene and a few other things. But after that, aside from the odd moment, he's more like comic relief than anything else.
He really is. There's that bit. And then I don't know if this is just a random conversation that can or can't happen, but there's a great conversation, probably the best bit of writing, where in the game, where Michael's driving somewhere with Trevor, and Michael's analysing Trevor,
hipster,
and he basically ends up calling him a hipster.
Yeah.
And Trevor just takes huge offence to it, and they end up falling out over it. And Trevor's like just a sulking little boy.
I always tended to play as Trevor because Michael, I found him quite irritating.
He was just
as much of a murderer as Trevor,
but he's a bit more of a prick about it.
Yeah, that thing about he was always making excuses and stuff. And Franklin, he's not the most interesting character of all of them. I think
Michael and Trevor are probably written more than Frank. Okay, so lots of GTA. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we finish this up, Nick?
No, I'm just saying that it is a lot of fun. I mean, I did really enjoy it. I had a few problems with it, but I mean, they're the most interesting things to talk about. Not the moments where you're playing it and something really cool happens, or, you know, you're just playing it, just bibbling about, having a laugh.
Give me an example of a cool thing, like an accidental one, because it's open world, isn't it? So I'm guessing there's some quite neat individual moments.
They're it's hard to recall them now, but I mean, it's just those moments when, like Matt was saying, you're in a chase and you're escaping across the mountainside or something, and you hit this bump and you end up falling out of your car over the mountains, and you suddenly realize you have a parachute.
And you parachute all the way down. Hide under there for a bit.
Yeah. I mean, those moments do crop up. I mean, you kind of have to make them yourself. The missions did kind of, they didn't interest me that much. Some of them are really fun. A lot of them, like, there are moments where the game will just tell you to do some things. Like, you'll look forward to a mop and bucket sequence later on, Matt.
I've heard about
which is
this.
The finest mop and bucket sequence I've played in the game. Like, it almost
it's a really
like,
detailed simulation of form.
It almost seems like Rockstar's mocking you occasionally, making you do these
look
things.
What you will do for your entertainment.
No, I think they really are.
Being.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you can make those open world moments, and they do happen. Just like there's lots of things like little random encounters that pop up. Like you'll see people robbing. Like I went to a clothing store to buy a new jacket or whatever, and I walked in the door and someone put a gun to my face, and then they robbed the bank, and then I was chasing them around on my bike through Los Santos. I mean, those things do happen. So it is a very fun game to play.
And it's got sharks as well, so 11 out of 10.
I think we should point out as well that there aren't really any women in it.
Yes, this is a good point.
Like,
yes.
The
of course, there are female character models,
they're not really
but there
characters.
Aren't actually any women in this game.
Seriously, Michael, one of the characters, he has a wife and kids at the start, and the game effectively tells them to piss off about halfway through. So
yeah,
he can do
for
what he
narrative
wants.
Narrative convenience, so they can focus on the bravado of the men, and you know, there really aren't any. Well, like I say, there are women characters in the game, but they're not characters; they're just caricatures.
No. Yeah.
And jokes, really. Yeah.
I mean, the men are characters too, but yeah,
they're developed. Like the women are there purely to
his
serve
wife is just a
non
character
men.
Completely, and his daughter as well is just basically a cheap, like, cartoon joke, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a bit, disturbing throughout. Yeah, there pretty much are no proper female characters.
There are moments, like, it is quite, there are moments of sort of casual sort of sexism and stuff as well.
Have you been to the strip club?
Only when I was taken there after one of the missions, like Franklin starts off there.
Yeah, okay. I have to do it myself, but I understand that there is a strip club minigame where you can get a dance from one of the women in there. And there's this minigame built around touching the woman whilst the bouncer isn't looking. And you have to balance your touching of the woman with the bouncer being there. So he walks away and you can touch her when he's not there, but when he comes back, you've got to let go or else you get kicked out.
Yes. I haven't actually done that, but... it's got this.
I mean, that's probably the most characterization any female character.
That is
in this
a problem
game
when,
gets.
Like, maybe you could balance it if you said that there were well-drawn female characters and it was just portraying like a real-world thing, like there are strip joints and these douchebag characters would probably go to them.
Yeah,
but when there's, I think it's more the fact that there are no women in the storyline of any note at all.
Yeah,
and the one that is. Spoiler.
Don't say it.
Yeah, won't say it.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a problem. And they've shown that they can do it, like Red Dead. Although that was a very like manly macho game as well, and there are moments of the same thing. Like Bonnie, thingy, the ranch owner.
Yeah, the ranch woman.
She was pretty much just, you know, out there doing in a man's world, just basically running this ranch.
Well, she was a person, and she was defined as a person.
Yeah, and there was no like tension between her and John Marston, just because there should have been, because it was a story. So obviously she falls in love with him. They just seemed to be friends, and she was just getting on with things. So they've shown they can do those characters.
It'd be good to know who wrote her.
Whether it's Dan Houser writes pretty much most of it.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like such a difference.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, there is a difference
done.
In tone. Like, GTA is so stupid, silly, and overblown.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption had some of that, but it was more of a serious story. it's subtler in tone.
Yeah. And his family and John Marston's family in that were quite well, from what I remember, it's been a long time since I played it, but they were quite well, decently written. I remember they, you know, they had thoughts and opinions and stuff.
They were people.
Yeah. So yeah. They can do it, but yeah.
Choose not to in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay then. Anything else just before we wrap up?
Is it the best one in the series?
It's certainly
better. I've always struggled with GTA games.
I enjoyed it a lot more than GTA 4. I still think there's something about San Andreas was probably my favourite one.
Okay. I would probably say Vice City is my favourite. Just
it's a toss up between those two. Yeah.
But Red Dead Redemption is my favourite.
Yeah, same.
Okay, into that. So, yeah, it's like, if you get this game, you're going to have something to talk about, whether you like it or you dislike it. It's definitely a talking point. There's so much in that.
Yeah.
Depends if it's your kind of thing, really. Laziest thing a critic or a game analyst can say. if you like open world adventure games, this game is for you.
The world that they've created is just, it's ridiculous. It's so detailed, and the things they've achieved with the software, with the hardware that they've got as well is incredible. But yeah, it's not perfect. It's not a masterpiece. I think we've come to the conclusion that it's not a 10 out of 10 game.
For us.
But yeah. Lots to talk about.
Definitely a talking point. Okay, so that's it for episode 30 of the Thundercast. If you want to let us know what you thought of Grand Theft Auto 5, head on over to thunderboltgames.com and check out the forums. Or alternatively, contact us on Twitter @_Thunderbolt or email us at podcast@thunderboltgames.com. From me, it's goodbye. From Nick.
Goodbye.
And from Shane.
Goodbye.
A few weeks ago, I was happily sulking by my swimming pool. What do you want?
I just came by to see if there's something I can help you with.
I'm retired. My psychotic best friend shows up out of nowhere.
Nobody tells me what I want!
To torture me over mistakes I made over a decade ago.
You're back in the game? I guess.
Yes!
Woo!
Welcome back, man!